Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Raina Troy Hotline.
Alicia, Michael, what's going on?
We know you have takes. We have takes.
I'm actually surprised that your rant line, rave line, whatever, isn't completely full.
Why can't we just win a game?
Can I blame Michael Castillo for this?
Can I blame Bob Connolly for this?
Could I put on a zebra shirt and just go out there?
Scratch, claw, up against the wall.
Can't explain that what I'm feeling right now, guys.
I can't believe it.
Let's open up that rave line! Woohoo!
Oh, I can't believe USC is 7-5 again. Oh, no.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rant of Troy Radio, episode 534, coming to you on Wednesday, March 6th. We're going to talk about the latest in USC football, including the Trojans having a new running backs coach. Yeah, a new coach. We're going to talk about it and so much more, including our thoughts on the upcoming EA Sports college football game, which I'm super excited about. I know Alicia is too. All that and so much more on this episode. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Rant of Troy. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Rant of Troy. Email address, rantoftroy@fanside.com. And our phone number, 818-643-7227. Second What's Brewing Show. I'm your host, Mike Castillo, and the only one who does our bit around here, apparently. But I'm joined with my co-host here in the Rant of Troy studio, Alicia D'Artagnan.
Your co-host is doing something for the rundown that was forgotten about.
Just throwing me under the bus.
Your co-host might be slightly distracted while we begin the show and should not be... Should not be.
That's where we're starting.
That's where we're starting, man.
Wow.
Anyways, it's like a Once Bruin show.
There you go. Welcome back. We are a week behind. I was looking at
least
it. We had one episode in February. We took a week off for the Super Bowl. As you know, we share a digital studio with the Chiefs podcast that was going to be super busy during the Super Bowl. And then after that, it was President's Day week. And then last week, we were sort of under the weather. So here we are. It's been a bit, but we're here. Welcome, everybody that's in the chat.
It's been long enough that we got an email from Tony, who was just checking in on us, making sure we're okay. Tony, we're okay. We appreciate We appreciate the concern.
We're still alive.
We are.
We're still alive. Still pumping. Still moving forward. All those things. And here we are, back to talk about USC football on March 6th. Isn't March 6th like Shaq's birthday?
March 6th is my nephew's birthday.
There you go.
So, happy birthday to Logan.
Would you say that he's part of the 3-6 Mafia?
I would say that. Yes.
Okay. There you go.
I think my brother would appreciate that.
Has he thought of it?
I don't know. This is I'm saving it for you. You get to be the one that delivers that question.
Okay. That's I haven't thought about it until right now. So that all works out. Either way, we are all part of the 3-6 Mafia here talking about March 6th. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's off the rails.
It's been a while. We're a little rusty. But let's get to the news. We got a bunch of news, shall we? Let's start with USC's coaching search. There was a new coaching search because USC lost Kyle McDonald to the LA Chargers. Jim Harbaugh comes into LA as the head coach of the LA Chargers, the new head coach of your beloved LA Chargers. And he takes Kyle McDonald.
I know I do it every You have
time.
It written down and everything.
I know. I literally have it written down in our doc. Do not call him that. he takes Kyle McDonald, USC's running backs coach. Trojans have to replace him, and they have. Anthony Jones Jr. is named the new USC running backs coach and run game coordinator. He played wide receiver at UT Chattanooga. Most recently, the running backs coach at TCU for the last couple of years on Sonny Dykes' staff. Coached in the national championship game just, what was that, 14 months ago? He was coaching the national championship game for the Horned Frogs. Before that, he was at Memphis. Memphis's running backs coach and recruiting coordinator. Had a lot of success there. Four running backs from the Tigers were drafted in a three-year period. Pretty good numbers all around there. Before that, he was a successful high school coach in Tennessee. Lisa, what are your thoughts on Anthony Jones Jr., USC's new running backs coach?
Well, first of all, losing Kyle McDonald, the timing that USC lost him was going to be a little bit difficult. It's not too far from spring camp, not a lot of time to evaluate and get somebody in. And with that in mind, I don't know that USC could have done better than Anthony Jones. He is a really strong running backs coach that seems to be very, very, very well respected. Mm-hmm. I think his track record speaks very well for him. His time at Memphis, he was producing NFL running backs at Memphis, which is not necessarily the program that you think of when you think of NFL, of guys who will get drafted and play in the NFL. He goes to TCU and he gets a hell of a lot out of Kendre Miller and Imani Bailey this past season. So, you know, from a production standpoint, I think that you can look at it and expect there to be very little in the way of, you know, skipping a beat in terms of his ability to coach the position. Mm-hmm. And then you tack on that he was a recruiting coordinator. He knows the recruiting game. He embraces the recruiting game. Every figure that USC has on the coaching staff that is, that is a heavy recruiter is always going to be a positive thing. Always going to be something that helps USC strengthen what is realistically, and for many reasons, one of the weaker points of the program at the moment is high school recruiting in particular. So that's I don't think you can have a complaint in the slightest with this hire.
I think that, you know, it's a tough spot, like you said, in February to go out and get a new coach. Obviously, I think there is a little bit of familiarity here. Anthony Jones Jr. at TCU worked under Garrett Riley 2 years ago, the national championship game 14 months ago. Garrett Riley was the offensive coordinator with the Froggies then. And Garrett Riley's brother is Lincoln Riley. So they friend of a friend, right? Friend of a brother, right? And so that is that you see that in coaching all the time. And I think you could look at this and say, well, this is, you know, this is coaching nepotism at its best. He's a familiar name that, you know, he coached with Lincoln Riley's brother, and he probably comes with, he could be quickly vetted that way and all those things. And maybe that's boring, whatever. But I think you look, like you said, you look at the track record, and I think the track record sort of speaks for itself. The numbers at TCU were really good, especially in that first year. They go to the national championship game. They average over 5 yards per carry. First time the Frogs had done that since 2016. They had like 37 touchdowns in 2022 on the grounds, tied with Air Force for seventh in the country. Air Force, a triple option attack. You look at the numbers that they did in Memphis. 2018, his first season at Memphis, they were fourth in rushing yards per game. The only three teams ahead of them, triple option offenses: Georgia Tech, Army, Air Force. So if you have a running attack that is in that sort of ballpark, I think that's a really good sign for what you're doing on the ground, especially in year one. His year one at TCU and his year one at Memphis were both really good. The year one at Memphis produced two NFL draft picks, Darrell Henderson and Tony Pollard, over at Memphis. So I think there's a lot to like here. For all of the things of having to scramble in February and get someone in, like you said, getting someone who, like, having the ability to have contacts through Garrett Riley tangentially here, I think is helpful. And if you end up with someone like Tony Jones Jr., that's not a problem. Like, this is nepotism working into your favor. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, nepotism or connections based hiring has not necessarily always.
That's worked. The name of the game in college football.
It's and it's been frustrating from a USC perspective in the past, in that that was only the way that USC was hiring. But we have seen USC not be bogged down by that kind of requirement. So when
the only kind of hire that Lincoln Riley does.
Yes, but this is a hire in a difficult position where you go out and grab somebody who, you know, Garrett Riley doesn't run a mirror image or anything like that of Lincoln Riley's offense, but their offenses are similar. They're philosophically from the same from the same cloth. So he's going to step right in. This isn't going to be a situation where you're picking up a coach who's been, you know, coaching the triple option and suddenly he's got to coach the running backs in a Lincoln Riley air raid. He's been coaching in a Garrett Riley air raid, and is going to be now in a Lincoln Riley air raid. And it's the transition shouldn't be a major concern. And you also have the vouching of, like, Lincoln Riley doesn't hire Anthony Jones Jr. without Garrett Riley giving him, I would suspect, a very strong endorsement.
Yeah. What do you think of the sort of coaching pedigree here when you look at the high school coaching stuff? It's a successful high school coach in Tennessee. I think he lost like a state championship game in Tennessee, 6A. I never know, is 6A good or is that high or low? Like, you know what I mean? I feel like every state runs the numbers differently. Mm-hmm. Like, Division One is high in some and slow in the other. Like, I don't know. 6A in Tennessee, I assume that's good. If you're talking about it, do you think that bodes well for recruiting? Tennessee is not, it's not Georgia, it's not Florida, it's not California, it's not Texas. But Anthony Jones coached in Texas at TCU, and I don't know how. I know your aversion to maps, but trust me, on the map, Tennessee is next to Georgia.
Will have to take your word for that.
Which is good. Chattanooga, famously pretty damn close to Georgia, like basically on the border.
For me, though, I mean, obviously the regional familiarity doesn't hurt at all. USC is going to be wanting to recruit in the South and in Texas. And so the regional side of that is great. Personally, I love coaches who have been high school coaches who have done that at a high enough level that sort of proves that they're not, like, that they're actually getting results at each level and then notching up instead of sort of starting on third base and then sort of like, oh, well, you've been like, you came up as a GA. And that doesn't mean that you can't have coaches be extremely successful from those roots, but it does, to me, speak to more of the sort of grind of you have to keep getting promoted and promoted and promoted in order to come up.
Mike Jinks is one of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love Mike Jinks. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Jinks was in Texas and then coached his way into sort of the Mike Leach coaching tree, not directly from Mike Leach, but like in that Texas Tech coaching tree and all those ranks.
He had to do things well enough to get that opportunity in the first place. That just speaks well.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Walter in the chat says, Lincoln Riley doesn't run an air raid offense. Please stop calling it.
Trust me. It's not, I mean, we know, but it also in like,
I don't think that we're,
I'm not saying that in a derogatory way.
No, but either. I don't think it's a direct way. I think it's more so like, first of all, I think
it's closer to the air raid than it is.
No, but you know, like, I think that when we talk about USC's ties to the air raid, it's like, It's ancestrally. Does that make
yes.
ancestrally?
Yes, is that a ancestrally. Word? Yes.
Yeah. It's not literally. It's you look at the ancestral links of what USC's offense is, and it goes back to things like Lincoln Riley learning as a GA at Texas Tech underneath Mike Leach, and so many things point back to that way. But that is not like USC does not run the Mike Leach offense.
When I say when I say a Lincoln Riley air raid or a Garrett Riley air raid, what I mean is just like in a classification as opposed to a different coaching tree that's running like a West Coast offense or
right.
or a
well, especially at this day and age, not only is SC not running an air raid, like nobody's really
running these systems in their pure form anyways. Like,
Max Brown has talked about this on TikTok. If you're not following Max Brown on TikTok, you should.
Great follow.
He's fantastic. And he had a thing a couple months ago that I thought was he sort of put together something I had thought about for a long time, but like he had it way more thought out than I ever could. Basically, like, we need to stop talking about the spread offense, stop talking about like systems on offense, because nobody runs systems on offense anymore. Everybody's multiple. Mm-hmm. We've heard it for a long time on defense. That, oh, you got to be multiple. You got to be multiple on defense. But like, that's what it is on offense. And that's why like,
that's a response to the offenses becoming multiple.
Yes. And I think that when you look at what SC wants to do on offense, you want to have air raid concepts. You want to be able to have power spread concepts. You want to have these concepts, but like those concepts are not your offense anymore. SC does not run an air raid. I think you can make the argument that SC didn't run the air raid when
Graham Harrell's air raid wasn't exactly an air raid either. Like,
yeah, influence sure, but not literally just, the air
just,
raid.
It's anymore. Just from the tree. It's from the tree.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. Either way, Anthony Jones Jr. I think that we would both say is a good get for USC. I think
thumbs up.
All things considered, absolutely. Yeah. If SC got him in November or February, I think you'd both give him the thumbs up there for sure. All right. Other stuff to talk about USC football. Really quick updates on spring camp coming up starting in a couple of weeks, March 19th. All practices will be closed to the general public, not a surprise. And the spring game coming up on Saturday, April 20th at noon at the Coliseum. And Alicia, it is the final. I know we've talked about this before, the final airing of USC football on the Pac-12 networks.
I feel like everyone has eulogized the Pac-12 network and the Pac-12 a million times.
And it's still
before that actually like before it's actually gone. Like you can see, like the Pac-12 is still here for the foreseeable future of the academic
USC
calendar.
Baseball hasn't even started their Pac-12 slate
yet. Yeah. Yeah. It's just funny.
Yeah. So look for that April 20th, of course, on the Pac-12 Network, noon at the Coliseum. Hopefully you could get out there to the Coliseum. I always love getting out to the Coliseum on spring game day. Bring back the Trojan Huddle, by the way. Call it the Trojan Huddle. But that's just me getting on my old man pedestal. All right, other news to discuss. Alicia, EA has officially announced College Football 25. We haven't podcasted in a while, so we haven't been able to discuss this. The teaser was put out a couple of weeks ago. There was rumor that this was going to be dropped during the Super Bowl, maybe a Super Bowl ad. That was not the case. It was a few days after that. They have put out on their website, quote, "We're just as excited for you as you are for EA Sports College Football. And while we recognize you are eager for more, we know that we will be back with a full reveal in May as we gear up for this summer's launch." I think we can expect the game out probably in July.
It used to always come out in July. So
yeah,
I'm assuming July.
Late June, early July.
I'm hoping as early in July as possible, because here's my thinking.
Hmm.
We are big EA FC people.
Yes.
FIFA, formerly FIFA. And that comes out like September. At the end of September.
Yeah.
So I want a solid like 3 months of only playing EA college football.
Yeah.
And not have to like transition into either transition into EAFC too quickly or have to delay my transition into EAFC because I'm still enamored with college football. Like,
Lucy, I hate to break it to you, but a week from tomorrow, my life gets devoted to.
I know you're already in the show. Like you are already hitting pumpies with the boys on the old game, abandoning me and some of our other friends.
Yeah.
With the EAFC that I'm kind of chucked out on as well. That's fine.
Hey, it's a dead game according to the internet. But
but you know what's not a dead game?
College Football 25.
EA Sports College Football 25, which by the way is a terrible name.
What would you have called
it? I don't know what you call it. It's just too long. It is simply too long. There's got to be. I mean, this is my problem with like EA. EAFC or whatever, like EAFC is a, it feels like a weird like mouthful that is not even that much.
Sure.
But like, are we gonna? Can we just call this like EACFB?
EACFB is a lot of letters. It sounds like I'm at an eye doctor's appointment.
Also, can I complain? I am so excited for this game. So just like, don't take my complaints for anything more than just like me nitpicking because I'm so excited about this game.
Sure.
I hate that they're doing the stupid Madden numerical bullcrap. It's the 2024 season. It's the 2024 national title that is being sorted out this season. What is it? Why are we a year ahead? Why are we in 25?
It's like cars and video games.
I hate it.
You don't want to be outdated. You want to be outdated so soon. Either way, College Football 25. By the way, I think it makes sense to call it College Football 25. You don't know what the future of the NCAA is. Like, I get calling it NCAA football.
I mean, homage to our
childhood and all that
stuff. Oh, I'm with you. The branding on NCAA is terrible, too. So, like, get rid of it.
Remember Gamebreaker? So Gamebreaker was a game when we were kids. I had Gamebreaker 99, 989 Sports. Remember that?
I don't remember 989 that.
989 Sports. Back when EA didn't have a monopoly and all this stuff. Either way, here's some features that are going to be part of the game. All FBS teams will be in there with 2024 uniforms. There'll be conference realignment. 12-game college football playoff with the ability to customize. This is, of course, noted from USA Today. Every bowl game will be in there. Dynasty and Road to Glory modes with NIL components. Also, I've heard Ultimate Team will be involved. Real-life coaches will not be in the game, and the game will run on the same engine as the Madden franchise, but with tweaks. Broadcasters, by the way, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler, which is awesome. Part of me wishes it was Brad Nessler and Kirk Herbstreit, but they don't work together in real life anymore. Mm-hmm. Like this makes the most sense. I'm all for it.
Yeah. The announcing group is fine. There is some valid criticism about maybe a distinct lack of female voices in the game, but you know, I suppose we can't have anything. I suspect they will fix that next year.
I haven't looked into it. Maybe there will be like a sideline reporter.
The sideline reporters are men.
Are they?
At least that's what the ones that have been announced. Here's
a question.
Something to take into account for next year. Yay.
If you were in the game, how would you want to be included?
Like me, the person, yes. The podcaster.
Yes.
I would love if they had like a road, like the road to the show or like, you know, like where, like you're be a player or whatever.
Yeah.
Or like be a manager. They do one of those things where like in between games, they like have the tweets that come up talking about the game. And then like that, they cut to like our screen with us being podcasters talking about how, well, you know, this freshman, more than
200 yards.
Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Is he a Heisman front runner? Like, yeah, that kind of stuff. I would love that.
Yeah, I think it would be great to be like, you see the tweets, right? Like,
yeah.
If they went in and got every team's like
beat person,
beat that reporters, would be pretty cool. You got a couple of maybe some fans that maybe they could just make up a couple
like
of
that, like a super fan fans. Or two. Yeah,
but you get some notable super fans. You get some like known media of something. So like you're in the dynasty, right? And then mm-hmm. there's like a little Twitter timeline, and there's tweets from us. Ryan Abraham, USC psycho, and then like some, Kirk Herbstreit has tweets there.
Yeah.
Like that would be cool. And then for every team, like you go through and like there's
different ones.
Like that would be awesome. That would be awesome. But either way, I cannot freaking wait for the game. I've already planned to like take a week off of work once the thing launches.
Cause I am so in for that, by the way.
I'm all over.
I need to start planning some vacation, and this feels like a really good, really yeah. good reason.
We've talked offline. Like, what if we became like
a college football 25 streamers or something?
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
We could do it. Cameron in the chat says, what's your favorite mascot to play with on NCAA? Do you ever play mascot mode?
I played mascot mode just in one-offs, like against my brothers, or I think you and I played mascot mode once.
I think the answer is Cocky. The South Carolina mascot.
I think I played once with the Florida mascot. I don't know. I don't remember.
What's is there a name for the Florida mascot?
Chompy.
Is it?
That doesn't sound right. That's just me taking a shot in the dark. If it's not Chomp or
Albert,
Albert, of course.
I was going to say Wilbur. Random. Wilbur is Wilbur, Alabama.
You know what the worst mascot to play mascot mode is? It's Cal's mascot because that is nightmare fuel, and I can't remember his name right now. But like,
yeah, Wilbur. By the way, is Wilbur the Wildcat Arizona's mascot? No, Oski is
nightmare.
You
fuel.
Cannot tell me that Oski is not on the sex offender list. Like just one glimpse of Oski's face and you're like, ooh.
Oski looks like I've
watched. Oski cannot be within 500 feet of a school.
I've watched a lot of restoration TikToks where they do like the stuffed animals that got damaged in a fire or was just like stuffed away dirty from childhood use and all that kind of stuff. And somebody goes through and like restores it. Yeah. Oski looks like the before picture. Just like somebody needs to go in and do a restoration on that head. It's
well, not good. I'm always looking forward to things like people can misinterpreting what USC's mascots are
mm-hmm.
and thinking that the drum major from the band is the mascot.
Yeah.
Which if I remember right on old games, I think it was
It was the Trojan Rider,
which is the Trojan Rider is technically who rides
Traveler, which is the mascot,
which I think is would be the correct way to do the mascot, by the way. But that's not the drum major who people say is the mascot. And well, Traveler literally is the mascot.
Yes, but USC now has a Tommy Trojan mascot that's like
cringe. Yeah.
In the technical definition of when they're talking about
only for basketball.
Yes, I mean I don't know if it's at football games. I would be surprised if it isn't at football games. But technically, when they talk about like the mascot challenge or whatever, they are referring to the human being in a furry suit kind of mascot.
I get that.
USC's
but like, SC quote unquote
mascot is
that.
Is Tommy Trojan.
I'm all for furry empowerment, but not in this sense. Also, I think if we're talking about other mascots, Cocky. Cocky is hilarious looking. You know, Cocky looks like, remember those bean people from...
Who is Cocky the mascot for South Carolina?
Yes.
Okay, just making sure.
Google this.
I needed to make sure that I was putting in... context around South Carolina mascot so that I
sure.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Look up Cocky the mascot and tell me, is that not one of those like bean people clip arts from like Windows 98?
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm talking about?
But it's just a mess. I don't think it's anything special.
No, it's nothing special, but like it weirdly looks like the clip art from Windows 98 that you'd use your third grade science project.
This is big facts.
Yeah, where they have like different poses and it's like does the bread have mold? And you pick the one like this where he's like pointing to the mold or whatever. All right. Other college football news that we have to discuss. A federal judge in Tennessee granted a preliminary injunction that bars the NCAA from enforcing NIL rules. Welcome back to the Wild Wild West. The Vols, Tennessee Vols, were charged with violating NIL rules by NCAA, allegedly using third-party NIL deals as recruiting enticements, but they're challenging by a lawsuit.
Yeah, I understood why the NCAA tried to regulate recruiting enticements specifically from outside the university, but in terms of like the legality of restricting that, it always felt like I didn't know that the legality would hold up, and that seems to be the direction that it's heading, that it doesn't hold up. The fact of the matter is that the NCAA is you know, they're the kid with the finger in the hole in the crack for the dam. Like, it's like a Dutch fairy tale or something like that, where the dam has a hole.
I don't know that I want to hear finger in the crack, but
either way, the deluge is coming. I don't know what the NCAA expects from this. The fact of the matter is that whether it takes 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years, college football players will be employed by their universities before this is all over, because the NIL structure was an improvement solely for the moral standard of these players should be able to get paid. But the NIL structure, from the terms of like, of creating a wild, wild west in college football, it's not a good way for a sport to exist. You need to have regulation. And in order to have regulation, you need to sort of have a certain level of collective bargaining and a certain amount of protection under employment standards. And the fact that it's taken this long to get to the, is like, it's pretty incredible they held on this long.
Yeah.
But the cat's out of the bag. Like, all of the federal stuff, all of the lawsuits, the legal stuff that USC is even wrapped up in, I'm barely paying attention to it, because in the end, it doesn't, like, all of these individual little things are irrelevant to the point that this is all just leading us to the same place. Like, it's just leading us to, they will be employees of their university. The sooner the NCAA accepts that and starts putting like groundwork into place to actually create a system that isn't just a mirror image of the pros, that still puts value on education and still puts, still keeps college football as uniquely college football as possible. Like, the sooner they just give up that's the stupid, pointless fight that they're doing with all of that stuff and start fighting for college football, for what it could be, the better. That's my take on all of this.
Yeah. Ron Murdy in the chat says, just make them employees of the university. It seems like that's the only solution here. But I think this is one of those things where I don't know what the end game ultimately ends up looking like and how that affects everything else. Because yes, if you make them employees of do they have to go to school anymore? If they don't have to go to school anymore, is it not the NCAA's purview anymore? College football anymore? Like, do we is it technically a different name? Like, I don't, like,
all that's these, why they these, can, these they other can answer,
mind you, these are things that
they that, can answer these questions by just saying, we will employ these student athletes and we will still place a value upon education, and we will have them be part of our university, because the reason we are fielding these teams is because they are connected to the university.
Right.
And part of their job is to be members of the university in the same way that like a TA is employed.
Or somebody who works at the bookstore,
there's work study people. Like, right. It's just like, it's okay to fight for the college of it all.
Get paid.
Work study people.
It's a dumb question.
I think it depends. I think they do get paid sort of, but they are also like working for their tuition.
But
I think I don't know why I think this. I want to say that one of my friends who was work study, like, I thought she got a stipend of some variety.
Right. Well, a lot of TAs get things like stipends too. Yeah. So
like, fight for the college of it all, because I do think the college of it all, it's not irrelevant. It is important.
Right.
But also just acknowledge that.
Yeah. Matthew, the chat says, if the NCAA cannot enforce NIL rules, then stands to reason the NFL cannot enforce salary cap rules. This is one of those things where, I am not a lawyer by any means, but like, it's one of those things where you're up at night and you can't sleep, and then you think about it, like, how is it legal that the Dodgers can trade somebody to the Twins?
Because of collective bargaining, because the MLB and the MLBPA or the NFL and the NFLPA have come together to agree on a collective bargaining agreement where they put into place the rules by which the sport will be governed, and the rules by which the sport will be governed, which is agreed to by both parties, ownership and players. They have agreed that yes, you may trade somebody under these parameters. Within these rules, and every NFL owner has agreed to the salary cap of, I will keep my team under a certain salary at risk of penalties that have been laid out in our collective bargaining agreement. It's because it's a legal contract that they've agreed.
Could you just imagine if that worked in any other field though? Like, you and I are fan-sided employees, right? Can you imagine if we were just traded to ESPN tomorrow? Like, that would be weird.
Well, I mean, if we're gonna,
there was a trade, and sorry,
if you have
been traded, Alicia, to the Peristyle podcast, and Chris Trevino starting next week.
I saw somebody talking about the crazy thing about like the concept of the franchise tag, which is like tomorrow, like I decide I'm gonna go find a new job, and FanSided just looks at me and goes like, no, actually, you must work here for another year.
The franchise tag is insane.
But again, it's because they've agreed to the concept. They've agreed to the rules there. I mean, realistically, not only, if you are a medical,
you don't get agency. And we're just going to pay you basically what the top five people in your category are making.
If you are pursuing to become a doctor,
yeah.
You have graduated medical school, you're in your internship and your residency. There are all sorts of rules governing where you work. Like, they tell you where you will work.
Well,
as part of those things.
If you're a union employee, this is a thing that like where unions will work for multiple and like count for multiple employers. You know what I mean? How am I explaining this? If you're a pipe fitter,
yeah, you
there's different companies that hire pipe fitters.
The people from the pipe fitters union, and they all, it's all under agreements, and it's all
shout out to local 250.
It's all in with Hollywood, like the different studios were negotiating with the actors, the SAG and right. the writers and all that kind of stuff. It's all, I mean, this is not my area of expertise, so no, whatever. But for the record, USC Glenn says work study does pay. It's just the government pays for part of it. So that makes sense. So like, you get paid, but it's like you get paid a portion of your salary and like the government is sort of covering.
Right.
It's like a grant, I suppose, if you sort of think about it.
Sure. So we'll see what happens with all the NIL stuff and all that. All of it seems like an ongoing situation, as Cam Newton would say. Ongoing investigation, I guess, as Cam Newton would say. Other news, college football, UCLA hired Eric Bieniemy as their new offensive coordinator. Your thoughts?
Under the circumstances, again, like under the circumstances, could US UCLA have hired a better offensive coordinator?
No,
I don't think so. I think
given the circumstances, that's
he is overqualified for the UCLA offensive coordinator job by a lot.
Yes,
this is a person that a lot of people think should be an NFL head coach, and he's the offensive coordinator at UCLA. Now, why is he the offensive coordinator at UCLA?
Because there's equally a number of people who don't think he should be an offensive
not just a head coach, but like he couldn't find another offensive coordinator job in the NFL. Yeah. He burned some bridges with the Commanders. Those things are, I think, have to be a concern from the sort of fit culture question. There's questions about, is he too, even when he was with the Chiefs, there was questions about his approach. Is he too abrasive? Maybe his personality, his coaching style, how will UCLA's players adapt to that? Now they've been coached by somebody who was known for being rather abrasive in Chip Kelly. So maybe it won't be that different.
Yeah.
But from a football tactical standpoint, incredible hire for UCLA. But the same reasons that UCLA was able to make this hire also make this hire feel like slightly risky.
It's one of those things where if he has success, he's not going to be there long.
No, but if he has success, it'll be a huge success for UCLA. And if he doesn't, we can't say that we didn't necessarily see it coming, if that makes sense.
Yeah, he's in an interesting spot the way his career trajectory has gone the last couple of years. Either way, it's weird to have your offensive coordinator be more accomplished than your head coach, but
by a long shot.
But there you are.
Yeah.
We'll see how that works for the Bruins. We got a couple of questions in our mailbag. A lot of these are off topic, so it's the off season. So we're gonna have fun with this. Here we go.
You've got mail.
All right, let's go to.
Sorry to interrupt you. We have an email from Jimmy in Brooklyn.
We got to that last time.
Oh, did we get to that last time?
Yeah, we talked about it.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, we talked about Marvin Bagley. I remember I accidentally said Bagley on the pod.
My bad.
Yeah. We got an email from Big Poppy 55. Who says, hi, Michael and Lisa, a longtime listener. I appreciate everything you do to keep us Trojan fans entertained both on, off, and during the season. This might not be the email you would normally expect, but while listening, I heard you two talk about F1 a few times and mention the Netflix show Drive to Survive. I must admit, I used to skip or tune out because I wasn't interested, wasn't my thing. One evening about a month ago, my wife and I were looking for something to watch. I remember hearing about how good of a show it was. We said, why not? There's nothing better to watch. And man, oh man, how things changed quickly. We instantly became hooked. The show is so well done. It keeps you wanting more. Suffice to say, we powered through and are on the latest season. I am personally trying to finish season 6 before Saturday, last Saturday, because I'm pumped to follow the 2024 season. I just want to say thank you and learn a little bit more about your fandom. So here we go. Rapid fire F1 questions. Do you have a favorite team?
I'd say Red Bull is my favorite team.
Yeah, that's right. Red Bull for life, baby. Favorite driver, I would say. I'm sorry. I know it's boring, but love me some Max Verstappen. Also love Lando Norris.
I think I would say my A team is Red Bull. My B team is McLaren. My A driver is Carlos Sainz. My baby, and my B driver is Lando Norris.
Yeah. Favorite principal? I can't answer this question anymore.
Who is even any of the team principals anymore? I can't.
I'm gonna abstain.
It would have been really easy to say last year when we could just say Gunther Steiner. I can't default back to him anymore. Zach Brown still a team principal.
He's technically a team CEO.
So, yeah.
He's not the team principal.
It's
I guess he's our favorite executive.
Yeah.
I think we would both agree.
Zach Brown.
Zach Brown.
Rep in America.
You cannot say Christian Horner at this point.
Christian Horner right now. The new dude for Ferrari is just like, I don't know that I can take him seriously yet.
we know that Otmar's gone. Otmar wasn't necessarily good at his what he did.
For the record, Glenn in the chat.
Have an American.
Glenn in the chat says that Fred Vasseur was epic in season six. I don't think we haven't finished season six yet. I think only a few episodes in. So we've been watching Love Is Blind and The Traitors.
Yeah, I don't think that there's any. I mean, Toto, I guess, but
I respect Toto. I don't necessarily like
Toto and his wife. Them. Scare me.
They're very.
They're two of those people that have life too figured out.
Very, very intimidating. They're very, very put together.
I am so intimidated by people who have their shit together.
I
you know what I mean?
Same.
Like, you ever just see a person, you're like, this person knows when their credit
this
card
person
is due.
Keeps their house clean.
Yes.
Like, without even trying. I don't.
This person doesn't
this
need
person
reminders
doesn't have
to
wrinkles on their clothing. This person doesn't hate doing laundry.
This person makes their bed in the morning.
Yes.
Next question from Big Poppy 55. What do you think about Lewis Hamilton going to Ferrari in 2025?
The timing of it is incredible. Like, it's, I don't think that it would be like Caleb Williams playing the 2021 season, having already announced before the season started that he'd be coming to USC. Like, it's like,
it's mind boggling. Like, this thing exists in soccer where you can move to a
you can have an agreement
in principle before the transfer window, right? But like, usually that stuff like comes out in April, a couple months before the season ends.
Yeah,
this is literally came out before the entire season. It's unfathomable. This would be like Ohtani signing for the Dodgers.
But then playing this year with the Angels. Yeah, it's hard to fathom. I don't know that I love Carlos Sainz, so I'm sad for him because he's gonna get booted out. I'm looking forward to see where he lands.
Yeah.
I do not think this is going to go well for Lewis Hamilton. That's where I'm at. But that has a lot more to do with Ferrari than it does Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton is an incredible driver. But Ferrari is USC circa 2019, 2018.
No, Ferrari is USC post Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Like there's going to be high expectations and epic flameouts.
Yeah.
Altogether. Yeah. The flip side of this is, and you talk about Carlos Sainz there. Well, the hot new rumors this week are all the fallout of the Christian Horner investigation and what that means for Red Bull and Max and his dad, Jos Verstappen. And could that mean that Max goes to Mercedes next year? Which to me, I think this is all a leverage play to get Christian Horner out, but that's just neither here or there. But The fascinating thing is, if that happens, how does Carlos Sainz not just end up at Red Bull?
I would love it. Personally, I would absolutely love it.
There you go.
I'd take it, yes. Yeah. Whoever's, I don't know. It's hard to say because the Red Bull is designed for Max Verstappen to succeed. And whoever's in the second seat next to Max Verstappen is sort of been a crapshoot because Max Verstappen's driving style is not necessarily suited to everyone else. So I don't know that Carlos Sainz would succeed as the second driver at Red Bull. I don't think he'd do any worse of a job than Checo Perez. But if Max Verstappen left Red Bull and then Red Bull was just a sort of more conventional
also
team.
We're talking about F1, so it's Perez, not
Perez. Yeah. Then I don't know, it could get really interesting because Red Bull has a very strong system, but if Max leaves, then who else goes with him? I don't know, it's all a mess.
Yeah.
USC Glenn is asking, can we do a couple F1 shows this year? So we've got at least one person who likes this conversation. Well, at least two, because
USC Glenn also says, what's your favorite F1 podcast? In this email from Big Poppy 55, he says, I believe I heard Michael talk about an F1 podcast he enjoys. If so, which is it? There's multiple. I think the if you want a podcast that is the closest proxy to us, I think it's the P1 pod with Matt and Tommy. Matt Gallagher and Tom Bellingham.
Formerly of
WTF1. Now they've done their own thing, and it's the P1 pod podcast. They are really good. If you want interviews, I like Pit Stop podcast is very good. If you want a newsy one, or one that is like very like nicely produced, BBC does the Checkered Flag podcast, which I loved when it had Jenny Gow on it. Last season it didn't, and kind of lost some steam for
me. Is that the one that uses the chain?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. They're really good. And then if you want an American podcast, there's Shift F1, which is two American dudes and an Irish dude. You know the guy from the Blink GIF?
Yeah.
It's that guy.
It's that guy.
It's literally that guy. He's on Shift F1.
I'm going to give
the F1 pod.
I'm going to give a shout out to our friend Nick Shook, who has the Gridiron podcast. So if you are an NFL fan and an F1 fan, the Gridiron podcast is a blend of both of those things. They spend about half their time talking about the NFL. Most of them are NFL reporters by trade, but they're also big F1 fans now. And so they do half. The other half is the F1 side. And I really enjoyed that podcast.
Yeah. And it's Gridiron with the brackets, like as if they're on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love those guys too. And go check all those out. Let us know what you think. By the way, if you want to really, this sounds like it's a negative. It's not a negative. It's just you want a very stuffy, dry podcast that's full of information that sometimes is just a little too full of information. The Race. That's the podcast for like 55-year-olds who are like super into the technical side.
Yeah.
The Race. That's for you. Sometimes a little too dry for me, but to each his own, right? Yeah. Big Poppy 55 says, I must admit seeing Max and Red Bull being so dominant last few seasons makes me wish things were a little more competitive. Sounds like this season's going to be a repeat, but maybe something wild happens. Anyways, you don't have to read this on the show or anything. Just wanted to say thanks and talk shop. Of course, we're going to read it on the show. Fight on, and you are a P1 podcast.
We are the P1 podcast.
So that's Big Poppy 55. Thanks for the email.
This is the key I've discovered to following F1 in a context of the title race is already sorted out. Just like block out P1 from your mind. Block it out.
You want whoever's
first place, P2. Top podium. You already know it's going to be Max. Who's going to be in second, third, and fourth?
Yeah.
Actually, the battle for third and fourth in every race is going to be the most interesting part of any race.
I literally saw a TikTok where the guy put a
piece
of tape over the stanchion the screen with who is in first place. So just cover up.
Yep.
And everything's great after that. All right. We got a bunch of questions from LA Fred. Let's rapid fire these. These were from Discord. What is a fun thing or item that everyone should have in their backyard?
Is it a pool?
It's an Adirondack chair for me.
Okay. That's cool.
Love me an Adirondack chair. Partly so I can say Adirondack.
Yeah. I love like yard games and stuff like that. So I suppose like
bocce?
Yeah, a bocce ball set or a cornhole or something like that or horseshoes, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. LA Fred says, airplane etiquette, window shade up or down, reclined seat or no?
Okay, reclined seat is really easy. You just don't do it.
Yeah.
You just don't recline. That's fine. Window shade up or down, I feel like it's got to depend on the time of day. But I'm a big window shade up because I like being up high. I like looking down and looking out when I'm in a window seat.
Yeah.
So if that's bad etiquette, then I apologize, but I'm also not going to give up that view. If I'm not actively looking out the window, though, I will close it.
I will always take a window seat over anything else. And if you have an issue about whether or not I have the shade up or down, suck it and shit about a window seat yourself. sorry. I am going to have it up if I want to look out. Yeah. If I want to take a nap, I might close it. But usually it's going to be up because I'm going to be staring out the thing like a little kid looking out there like, ooh, where are we? What's that little lake thing? Look at those houses.
It's the price you pay for
those roads are a mile apart. Like those. That's exactly what's going on in my brain.
It's the price you pay for having to shimmy into the seat, for having to take longer to get out of the aisle, all that kind of stuff. Like there are benefits to each seat. Well, to the window or the aisle. And that's one of the trade-offs. So
yeah,
you get the window, but you have to deal with other stuff.
LA Francis, what common animal or thing are you afraid of?
Squirrels.
The dark.
I don't like squirrels. I'm very happy to have a dog who loves to chase squirrels and keep them away from me. So that's good.
Terrified of the dark.
I'm with you on that. I don't like the dark.
Not for me. What products would you stockpile if you found out it was being discontinued?
Cheez-Its.
Oh, not the Today Sponge? That's a Seinfeld reference.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yeah. No, unless if food doesn't count.
It's not if it's being discontinued. Product? Yeah, like...
my mind just goes to food. Cheez-Its, Kraft Mac, something like that. Sun Vista beans. Actually, that's true. If we're talking not just a product, but like a brand, Sun Vista beans, if they went out, because I just don't like all of the other brands. So, and I'm weird. I don't
know.
Not
a Goya gal.
Not a Goya gal. I'm not a Rosarita gal. Chocolate Ibarra.
This is
not staying on food.
I don't mean this literally because my favorite shoes I can't find, and so this is why I would do this. But probably shoes. Like if I really liked a pair of shoes, I would be inclined to go back and buy two or three pairs and just stash them for the future.
I feel that. As someone who has struggled to find shoes that
I'm not a sneakerhead, but I'm that guy who would love to go to like Shoe City, Shoe Warehouse, where it's self-serve. You go in and it's just the big stacks of Nike boxes. And I loved SB Dunks. Those are the shoes I love. I get them at Shoe City for like $49.99. It looked cool. So comfortable. Loved the things. All of a sudden, they become this crazy trendy shoe that you cannot buy anywhere unless you're buying them on eBay or whatever. And it's like, I liked it because it was kind of lame. And like they looked cool,
like
for being
Champion
lame.
Is a brand now that people
see. And it's like, if I would have known that, I would have
for wearing Champion when we grew up.
I would have bought a pallet of these from Shoe City a decade ago. Like, so yeah.
Yeah. Blistex lip balm.
It would get
the medicated Blistex lip balm. Would it? No.
Maybe.
Not if you didn't open them.
I don't know. I don't know the science of it. LA Fred says you can go back to any period of time in your life and relive, not knowing what you know now. What age and time are you going to? If any, there's only one answer for this. It's going back to watch Breaking Bad for the first time. Or The Jinx for the first time.
That's a good one. Not knowing what I know now, what I want to relive. There's a lot of USC games I'd want to relive, but like, does that count as a period of my life?
Relive 4th and 9?
Relive the first time, the summer that I played Mass Effect, and just, I sat in my room with my own little TV and played Mass Effect every single day without bother.
It's
back when I was a teenager and didn't realize that like having time to yourself like that is only a brief moment in your life. And the only thing you have to care about during the summer is chores. Yeah.
What a time
to be alive. Yeah.
All right, last question. Kenny says, do you think schools would be hesitant to fire their basketball coaches in an attempt to keep some continuity while filling out new conferences?
I think that schools are hesitant to fire coaches no matter what. I don't know how much conferences necessarily play into filling out, because I think everyone wants to go into their new conference and like hit the ground running. And if you've decided that your coach isn't it, then keeping continuity becomes sort of beside the point. So I think schools keeping their coaches is more about just like the natural inclination to not have to fire somebody, rather than we're moving into a new conference, we don't want to have to deal with a new coach. Because in theory, yeah, you could just fire the coach you have and hire somebody who has coached in that conference before and be in a decent spot.
I think the most important thing is to have the right coach, rather than have the right coach for the conference or the mm-hmm. right whatever. Like, I understand maybe you want to wait to see what it's like in the new conference, but unless you're overly liking what you're doing, maybe you're, even if you're like Washington State, right, who's like getting relegated essentially, mm-hmm. wouldn't you, and I think Washington State basketball is good this year, right?
Yeah, the Washington State basketball that's being relegated and still yeah. is outperforming Andy Enfield's USC. Yeah.
But
I'm not mad about that or anything.
But like, even if that's the case, like, if things were bad, I don't think that'd be a reason not to fire your coach either.
Yeah.
Like, just because you getting relegated means that your coach is going to have an easier time, like, theoretically. Like, if your coach needs to be fired, fire your coach. Don't overthink it. Yeah. If you need to keep your coach, then keep your coach. Like, just make the right move. Don't overthink it. That's my philosophy. So, but you never know. You never know how these things go. With ADs.
If your coach's conference record looks like a baseball batting average, then maybe you should fire your head. But that's just.
What if I'm batting 600?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mind batting 333 in baseball, but I do mind it in basketball.
So. Yeah, there you go. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. We'll be back next week. Talk more USC football. Look ahead to spring camp and all those things. So until next time, we will see you. Yeah. See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.